B-Pod Studios.
Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
We're going back, baby! And there ain't nothing you can do about it! America's worst nightmare is back! We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years! Pack your bags, start our buses, we're coming home, Boston!
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. One of the great playoff games of all time, I think that's safe to say. And here is the obvious... Now, I understand there's not a lot of storylines. I mean, people are focusing on a laser. But this is an interesting headline in that it's completely obvious. How a single penalty saved Tom Brady's playoff legacy in the Patriots dynasty. Had D Ford not lined up wrong, the GOAT would have simply... wound up a goat. Well, yep. Yeah, he threw an interception that would have ended the game.
Yep, that's true.
what's the point of the article?
Who wrote that? What publication?
Evan Blear.
No, I mean, what publication?
Real Clear Sports.
Oh, well, that's why. Okay, well, that's why it's that.
But I just think it's funny. It's just a statement of fact.
Yeah, I know. Man, weird.
Yeah, he would have come out of that game.
And it probably got a million clicks. You know what? Anything Patriots right now. I mean, you saw the ratings, and I went over it this morning, and it's one of the more interesting underplayed storylines that's going to be coming out of the Super Bowl, and that is the lack of a fan base for the LA Rams. I mean, because they're kind of in no man's land. The St. Louis fans are upset at them. They probably still have a few fans from there. Los Angeles all of a sudden has two football teams, and you know they're still having a hard time selling their tickets. So...
Well, tickets are certainly expensive.
Well, that's another part of it. But if you look at the ratings in Los Angeles, this is for L.A., the number two, the second biggest market in the country. 2.1 million people watch the Rams versus Saints. But the Patriots versus Chiefs, they notched 2.5 million viewers. 20% more people in Los Angeles watch the Patriots than they did their home team, the Rams.
I bet you 20% of the people in Los Angeles are from Boston.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You might be right. And they all left it over the last couple of years with all the blizzards they were getting.
Yeah.
But,
if there was, I mean, we're signed now, but if there was another big boy, you got to start thinking about the quality of life.
But then the springs are so nice that you just forget. So, yes,
that spring. When have you experienced spring?
It's a nice couple of days.
Yeah, it goes from cold to really hot.
To summer, right? Just out of nowhere.
Yes.
But yesterday they had on Inside the NFL... a mic'd up segment for the AFC Championship, and it was pretty interesting. Now, Edelman in it was one of the guys who was mic'd up, and he was pretty funny. As a matter of fact, this is how everything started.
Hey, it's your show.
Hey, stay on it.
All day. All day.
Everything we work for, boys, come out here, give it our all.
Hey, keep the gas on in there.
I don't even know what I just said.
So he's just yelling stuff.
He's just yelling stuff that he can put on T-shirts.
Hit a guy shadow now.
All right.
It's like the water boy. He's scared of you. No, it's hard to go ahead.
He's going to have shirts that say, I don't even know what I said.
So this is the theme going on as of late, and that is that Tom Brady, you're too old. Use that. And after I think this was the Dorsett touchdown pass, here comes Julian Edelman off the field, and he yells this at Tom Brady.
Thanks, baby.
You're too old. You're too old.
The half ends there. New England dominating, leading the Chiefs 14-0.
Yeah, he's yelling, "You're too old," at him.
And then Tom Brady says, "Baby," 5,000 times.
He does. Well, he also said like the F bomb. Have you seen the unedited version of the locker room thing?
Yes, yes.
It almost seems like he just learned that word.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard him say that. Now he said it like a million times. Not that I've never heard him. I might have heard him say it like once or twice. But my God, he used it like a zillion times in the locker room.
I mean, he went to University of Michigan. Maybe he knows Arthur P.
Oh, maybe he does.
From WRAF, whose big catchphrase was, baby!
Baby! So this is Julian Edelman after the muffed punt that wasn't. And here he is mic'd up talking to the refs after the play is done.
As Edelman says, get out of the way.
Intention.
Did you see it? It jumped right over me, bro.
And this is being looked at more than the...
I don't think I touched it. I don't think I did. It's so close. I just don't know what they're going to do. It's so close. It don't look like it touched it.
After reviewing the play, you determined that the receiver did not touch the ball.
So he goes with the guy from the Chiefs and goes, chill out after that was done. Like, all right, get back to where
like
you were.
Adolfo, did you eat that cake? I did not eat that cake.
I did not eat that cake.
First of all, that's a good time to start talking smack when you just made the most idiotic play of the game.
Dumbass play of the game.
And second of all, John, you agree with me. There's no way that part of it.
That touched him.
No, it did not. It did not. As a matter of fact, watch last night's Inside the NFL.
I watched the game. They showed
Fred, there's a different angle. They have one that's on the ground. The NFL.
Inconclusive.
Fred, he did not touch it. Because during the game, from one angle, they showed the left-handed did not touch. And then from another angle, they showed the right-handed did not touch.
I watched the game.
And then last night, there's an angle that is on the field level from the end zone, and you clearly can see that it did not touch
any part of his body. He's a dumbass for standing there in the first place, and it touched him.
But don't tell me it touched him, because it did not.
I just did. It touched him.
I'm saying the same thing. It touched
watch
him.
The video from last night. It's a completely different angle, and that one is the most clear of all of them.
Clear? There's nothing clear about that.
Okay, then why would the refs overturn it?
I don't know. That's
don't
a good
know.
Question.
Why did they
I don't
call
know why they overturned it.
They even said on the thing, Andy Reid goes up to him and goes, what happened? And he goes, there's irrefutable evidence.
All right, good. I'd love to see it.
So you think they were in the bag for the Patriots?
No, I think the refs made a mistake, which happens.
Yes, I think the refs made a mistake.
Do you know how tough it is to overturn a call?
Yes, I find
you
it utterly amazing that they missed it.
And yet all these things add up to it was a terrible call.
Well it wasn't. It
didn't matter anyway.
It didn't matter. Edelman lucked out. I mean, he played all Joe Cool. He knew he had made a catastrophic error.
Yeah,
standing there in the first place
because
he got bailed out by sheer luck.
He goes,
he didn't touch it.
No, luck that the ball just happened to hop over him in the referee's point of view. He stood there. He wanted to pick the ball up, and the ball bounced over him.
He even said, I don't think I touched it.
Complete luck that he didn't blow the game.
Well,
right or wrong?
Well, then
pure luck. What?
Complete luck that Edelman didn't blow it.
Oh, okay. But he didn't.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a bounce the ball, without a doubt. But he didn't touch it.
No. But they hop over him.
But they got the interception two plays later and scored on that, right? They got the interception two plays later.
Now, this
so it doesn't really matter.
This is my favorite, bang, bang, back and forth here. So this is when D Ford was offsides. And the clip you're going to hear first is Gronkowski, the ball hitting off his hands and the interception happening. And after that, listen to Edelman because he walks over to the dude from the Chiefs and says, good game. He thought the game was over. Good game. And then the next voice you're going to hear is D Ford on the sidelines.
Oh.
Take a listen.
An interception off the hands of Gronkowski.
Wow. Night.
Good game, bro. Hey, I respect you, bro.
But a penalty offside on Kansas City.
Offside. Defense for the 55.
So what seemed to be a game-clinching interception is nullified.
They said I was lined up offside. Was I?
Okay, so that's the most heartbreaking scene of the whole thing because he goes, they said I was offsides. D Ford's like walking around. And he goes, was I? And one of the other linemen hands him a tablet and doesn't say anything. He walks away and he looks down and looks at it and you see his face go, oh. And then that's it.
It cost him the game.
Like dude thought that he was like, oh, no, I wasn't offsides. They said I was offsides. And he looked down and the guy just hands it to him and walks away.
Yeah, it's an excuse.
Oh, yeah, I'm offsides. And then, of course, Devin McCourty afterwards, who is another great mic'd up guy. If you want a mic on a defensive player, he's the guy. Here he is after the win.
Welcome to the Super Bowl!
he's talking to his brother.
Excelsior!
Yeah.
Excelsior!
So that would be Slater.
Excelsior! Gentlemen, get on your steed and ride over to Atlanta!
Let's go to line three, shall we?
Okay. Well, Richie. Hello, Richie.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you? Hey, you know, Rich, in Wallace's defense, he is getting up there in age, and, you know, usually your eyesight starts to go and everything. But you're right. They only showed that replay from the end zone, once, and you can clearly see space between Edelman and the football.
All right. You know what? Fine. It's not worth arguing because it didn't matter at the end. You know what I'm having? If I read with contacts in and then I look up at the TV,
yeah,
it takes like a couple, a few seconds for me to be able to focus on the
television. You get a little wow, yeah. And then it comes into focus?
It's just super foggy, and then it like comes into focus. I'm going to need bifocals like Sean Payton.
Give it about 10 years.
I don't think it's going to be 10
I'm telling
years.
You, get the glasses with a magnet in the middle so you can just attach them in the...
That's super cool.
Isn't that from the jerk?
That's super
cool. Those are the tape.
That's the jerk, is
all
it
right.
not?
Ray Lewis talked, and Robert Kraft, you know, went around and listened to some doo-wop and had the time of his life. We'll have that all for you.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Is Ray Lewis on Inside the NFL?
He is. He is, I think, every week. I know he used to be kind of a featured guest. But it's him, Boomer, Jim Brown, and Phil Sims. And then every once in a while, they'll bring in, who was the one that they used? They used to have Brandon Marshall on there, but I don't think he's down there this season.
Oh, is it the little wide receiver from Carolina?
Oh, yeah. A senior. Steve Smith. Yeah.
Steve Smith.
Yeah,
right.
he comes out there every once in a while, too, and he's really good.
All right. Well, he expresses his what's on his mind. All right. Here is Ray Lewis talking.
So Ray Lewis was talking about, and I forget. Oh, yeah, he's talking about the Patriots being old school.
But yet they're back here again. What gives with the Patriots?
Let me explain to you guys what gives, okay?
So in other words, tune out for as long as I'm speaking. I don't mean to confuse you. I wonder if he goes back to Atlanta for the Super Bowl.
I had this discussion with my wife. No way. I would bet my house on it right now. There's no way he is going to Atlanta. Because every question would be about the last time he was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Unless he's... Scratch that. I'm not going to bet my house. Because there's a chance that he's just that dumb. He's just that dumb that he thinks he's going to go there and nobody will say a single word about fighting in a bar or a white suit or maybe he just thinks that the world has completely forgotten about it.
Yeah. That doesn't tend to happen with professional athletes that have been accused of being involved in a murder.
Why do you think Bill Belichick wears a sweater that's not popular? He old school.
He does not disappoint.
Ever. I isolate that for me.
Ever.
Why do you think Bill Belichick wears a top hat? He's old school. I remember seeing pictures from the 1920s, everyone's got on an ugly sweatsuit.
5'15", 75.
He's old school. As opposed to all the other coaches that are dressed to the nines.
Right, you got,
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid, the Monopoly guy.
Andy Reid shows up in a tuxedo.
Numbers.
What the hell is he talking about? God, is he dumb.
Why do you think Bill Belichick wears a sweater that's not popular?
He owes... Like Jabot now.
What?
Why does he wear a stussy sweater? Genera hypercolor that shows where you're sweaty. That ain't popular. It's old school. Why do you think he wears that poncho? He's old school.
He old school. New school, everybody this whole first part of the season, offense is this, throw this ball, throw that ball, throw this ball. Later in the season, it get more old school and more old school and more old school. And this is why the New England Patriots are beating anybody in their way.
Again, is he saying,
fundamentally.
Real quick, is he saying that near the end of the season, offense doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Because last I checked, the Chiefs and Patriots were fairly high-scoring game.
They throw out all those extravagant formations. Everyone goes back to the wing team
when we get to January.
He's talking about how the Patriots ran the ball effectively.
As a matter of fact, I would say that the top four offenses in the league.
Hang on. The last Super Bowl, if you recall,
each team ran the ball twice. The score was 75 to 100. You'll notice people don't throw the ball that much. Unless you watch the game.
Remember five and remember seven, because they're going to have a recurring attitude in my message.
You know, when the Patriots are 28-3, up the middle. Clock be damned.
They are fundamentally better equipped than you. You pay attention to the mistakes. You say with D4. Yep. You talk about the things that you talk about the highest scoring offense in football, and they give them less than 50 total yards in the first half. Why? Because not a big name, but a bunch of guys got together fundamentally and said, if you do your job and I do mine, brother, this is what the formula looks like. Right.
So Kyle Vannoy got everyone in a huddle say, you know what? Let's be fundamental.
Guys, fundamentally. Let's get on the same page.
Why do you think Bill Belichick wears a sweater that's not popular? The old school.
You ever watch Leave It to Beaver? He wears one of those Ward Cleaver sweaters. Like when he would come out and have a martini and take off his suit jacket. He's like Mr. Rogers.
Is he really?
Yeah. Old school.
Okay. He's rocking the Cosby sweaters.
Well, I'll tell you this. It ain't no Gordon Gartrell. I remember Bill Belichick one day, he had Ernie Adams. He said, I don't want to pay for no Gordon Gartrell. And Ernie said, I'll knit you one. Then it came out and one arm was way longer than the other. I said, Ernie, you're a fool.
Are we back at sitcom Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
Has he returned?
He has. Okay.
Sitcom Ray Lewis. Can you tell us, what do you look forward to doing during Super Bowl week?
I'll tell you what, there was once a show about a young lady, and she had two dads.
You might two dads.
Yeah, and one was an artist, he could never make cam.
Okay.
And then the other one was played by Paul Reiser, and he had a stick up his butt.
Okay.
And he always wore sweaters. And they would go down to the malt shop. Oh, you want to talk about sweaters? They get on the lanai, have cheesecake, and wear sweaters. You're in Miami. Why are you wearing so many sweaters? Remember when I was at Miami, they only had the number 5. So I said, 52 it is. God. Judd Hirsch, you're too smart to be driving that cab. Judd Hirsch, you're cynical. Get a job. Danny DeVito, stop being so mean to everybody. Oh, I wish I was you. It reminds me of Miami. We had a room called the Frolic Room. And we had this crazy kid they called Screech. We let him hang out, but he was kind of a nerd. At Miami University, there was a man who come around the dorm. His name was Mr. Belvedere. And then one time a kid came up to the door and he goes, not bad. I go, how you doing? He goes, not bad. I got AIDS. Which is really in an episode. Oh. That dry cleaning business has made you rich. You've made so much money from dry cleaning. I'll tell you what. You got nothing. Why is this the theme song to anything?
The Nanny, isn't it?
It yes, is, it but is. I don't understand why they're playing this crappy music. It's like Manhattan Transfer. Is it Quantum Leap?
Or MacGyver?
Oh, I remember one time I made a parachute out of a pair of old shoes and a candy cane.
All right.
Okay. Oh, look at you, fatso. Get rid of that wife of yours.
And they did. They
killed her. Don't go up on the roof in the snow. You're going to fall.
He does. He fell a lot.
Oh, he loves sandwiches.
Oh, is it? Can we hear Manimal Ray Lewis?
Hey, beast. You are all under my control. Hey, kitty cat. Come over here. Sit on Ray's lap. I want to pet you. I ain't gonna hurt you. Hey, dogs in the neighborhood. Skedaddle. Get away from the postman. I control everything with my mind. I've been having a conversation with this iguana for the last 2 hours. Hey, iguana, move around. You're just sitting there like a lump on a log. You're confusing me.
Manimal, he turned into the animals.
All right. Yeah, but I was still talking to him. You know what I want to be?
What's that?
Well, I want to be one of them jumping beans.
That's not an animal.
Then how come they jump?
Okay, I don't know.
All right. I'm a hawk. I'm a hawk. I'm going to save the day. Hey, what you two doing down there? I'm going to whoosh. I'm a hummingbird. Look, I'm all cute. Boo, 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 boo. I'm a woodpecker. Good luck sleeping. I'm going to peck that tree all night. All right.
Why do you think Bill Belichick wears a sweater that's not popular? The old school.
Okay. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up in the stack?
CBS is refusing to air certain commercials for the Super Bowl, and one very interesting one. And on top of that, cast of the 2016 Ghostbusters are pissed that there's a new Ghostbusters.
Of course they are. Here are the headlines.
Follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what is it that we didn't get to today?
Well, I told you the story about how Vegas has swung a total of 4 points ever since the matchup between the Rams and the Patriots were first made official. Right after the Patriots game was done, there were many sports books in Vegas that were favoring the Rams by a point, but because such an enormous amount of money has gone the way of the Patriots, they're now favored by 3. A 4-point swing in Vegas. I'd like to talk to the Bankroll Boys about when the last time something like that happened in a major sporting event. That just seems, I've seen like 2 points. I don't even know if I've really seen 3 just from the course of betting, but a 4-point swing that quick is saying something.
How high does it go before it swings back the other way?
I mean, it's going to swing a little bit the other way. I mean, obviously.
It's going to get to a number where, like, this is ridiculous. Let me go the other direction. Vegas isn't stupid. They're going to get money on both sides. Yeah. So how high does the spread have to go before the money starts flowing in on the Rams?
Maybe one more. Maybe one more.
Okay.
Or, heck, maybe even the way it is. Maybe tomorrow you'll see it with the Patriots favored by 2.
Patriots.
That's a big
play.
Swing. Are they the square play?
They're square play.
Okay. What do you call it if it's not the square play? What's the opposite of it? The sharps. That's what the sharps are.
You got to fade it.
Mm-hmm. You got to fade it. Fade the sharps. And as we were saying before, right now, the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl MVP, that would, of course, be Tom Brady. He is even money right now, which means if you bet $100, that's going to get you $100. Jared Goff, the only other player with odds in single digits at 2-1. And as we were saying earlier, the two players tied for third place, Todd Gurley and Fred's favorite player, Sony Michel. Both with 16-1 odds.
Only if the offensive line blocks well.
If you feel free to love Sony Michel all you want. I'm telling you, and Troy Brown wouldn't say it on the air, but he agrees too.
Well, no, he didn't say that he wasn't. He said that a first-round pick. Well, he didn't say that.
Bottom of the first round.
With a wink and a nod, I think he was saying
no,
that.
No, he told me to my face that I like playing it up on the radio.
Isn't that kind of like the... the fourth wall? Do we just lower that?
What does he care? I don't really understand why he cares. I mean, I don't think Sony Michel is a bad running back. I just think you could take almost any NFL running back in open holes like that, and they're gonna. And I don't know if they can carry the ball that much because the veterans. But if you get open holes like that,
the point Troy Brown made, at the time when we discussed this with him on Monday morning is, yes, you're right, there are a lot of holes for him to run through, but the question is, what does he do with those holes? There are certain running backs that will get the 5 yards that are open for him and then get hit and knocked down.
Do you understand that he didn't believe what he was saying?
I get that.
No, maybe not to the extent.
I had a conversation about it.
The overall point.
He doesn't think he sucks.
I didn't say he sucks.
No,
he says that you waste a first round pick. You could have picked any back in the draft probably and have him do the same thing.
Now that I don't agree with.
The point I got out of it, whether he believed it or not, was, is Sony Michel the type of back to get those 5 yards that are given to him and then get knocked down, or can he make those 5 yards into 50 occasionally?
Well, it's the hesitation and the breakout speed. Those are the two things.
Does Michel have that?
I don't think that
he's been successful,
special.
So I guess so.
No, a lot of successful backs. Isaiah Crowell had a great year. I mean, come on, give me a break.
I don't know. You do that
for
the majority of the year. At some point, it's not just because he's got a great line.
It's because he has a great line. What was the holes are gigantic. You've seen it. I mean, he automatically gets to the second line of defense, and sometimes they pull a guard and they have Gronkowski out there, and he doesn't have to worry about the linebackers. I don't think he doesn't suck. But, I mean,
I just want to remind you, after week one, you said he doesn't have it. He's a bust.
I didn't say he was a bust.
You said it was a blown draft pick.
It's a blown draft pick.
You said it was a waste of a draft pick.
It is.
He does. Your exact words, and I'd love to go back and look, he doesn't have it. That's what you said.
I don't think
after
he's
week one.
I don't think he's anything special. Nothing's changed my mind. I mean, here's Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, that kind of Adrian Peterson, that kind of talent warrants a first round pick.
And they were all taken in the top five.
Yes. Sony Michel, you tell me, go look at the draft and you tell me who was taken in the second, third rounds and if there are any differences.
Sony Michel essentially was taken in the second round.
I agree with that. But Fred's point is it's most good backs can be taken lower than the second.
Where was Nick
round.
Chubb taken?
After.
Would you rather have Nick Chubb? What? Four picks later? Would you rather have Nick Chubb or Sony Michel? Be honest.
The way Sony Michel's playing in this system.
Would you, John,
Chubb was a much better back in college. He was.
He was, and he's a much better back in the NFL.
I got to take a look at the backs taken after him. Go ahead, continue to talk
amongst
yourselves.
Yeah, you do that.
Talk amongst
yourselves. You look at those stats.
I'm going to.
Yeah, look at that.
I got the glasses on, damn it. It's required.
I'm not going to change my mind on Sony Michel.
No kidding. Really? I hadn't noticed he was steadfast to this. All right.
So what will it take for him to be, in your mind, a great running back?
He's got to be Barry Sanders.
No. Okay. Let's,
like, 150 yards a game?
No, he's got to make about five people miss and run 50 yards without being touched.
Yes, thank you.
That, in order for Fred to agree that he's a good
first
back.
A first round pick, I would say yes. That he has to be an absolute electric stud. And there's not a whole lot of them.
Bottom of the first rounds.
It's a first round pick. Who's taken in the second round?
Token.
No one good was taken in the second round.
Second round. Hang on, I'm looking.
Just players in general.
Chubb was taken four later. Ronald Jones the second, Tampa Bay. Kerryon Johnson, Detroit.
Oh, Kerryon Johnson is a better back than Sony Michel.
I'm not willing to say that. I'm not.
They're equal.
I'm not willing
they're
to say
equal.
That. Let's see, Darius Juice or I'd never get this right. Is it Geis, LSU? Let's see. Denver Broncos, Royce Freeman, who did not play well, got hurt this year. And then we're on to the third round.
Geis got hurt.
Geis got hurt, too? Okay.
Who's the best player that was taken in the second round? It doesn't have to be a running back.
Hang on. This is Cortland Sutton, Denver Broncos, played a lot. Pettis, Washington. Christian Kirk, Arizona, was supposed to be good. Gardner, the tight end from Philadelphia, taken in the second round. Anthony Miller, wide receiver, Chicago Bears, taken in the second round.
All right, we could go on forever.
This is boring as hell for you guys.
Get those stats together.
Yeah, I'll get back to you as soon as I get the glasses fitted.
In the meanwhile.
And by the way, that's a huge compliment to the offensive line of the Patriots.
Well, they've been monstrous.
I'm not taking anything away from the Patriots.
How about in all of the, through the postseason, Tom Brady's not being sacked.
Yeah, and there's gaping holes for Sony Michel and whoever's running the ball. James White was running the ball up the middle. Now, James White is a far better back than Sony Michel. He just can't handle the workload. All right, go ahead.
Well, the highest ranked or the best odds in any defensive player is Aaron Donald with 25-1 odds.
How the hell is a defensive lineman going to be an MVP?
Interior
lineman. As I said, it's only happened once.
If there was, and what was the case?
Defensive lineman Richard Dent, Super Bowl 20 against the Patriots.
No, it's happened twice.
No, there have been.
The Cowboys. They had the two guys that won.
That was before that. But yes, that you're right. It's the most recent that I can think of is Richard Dent.
Yeah,
Super Bowl 20
end.
Blowout of the Patriots, 46-10.
A quarterback has won MVP in 7 of the last 10 Super Bowls.
Well, Darnold's not going to win the MVP because Brady gets rid of the ball too quick.
Yeah. I mean, of course. No one's touching him. I mean, look at the powerhouses that were coming out in the last
Darnold.
2 weeks.
What did I say?
Darnold.
You said Darnold. Oh, I had
said you always got Darnold on the mind.
And you know what?
Brady's
release could keep Sammy D down for a while. It's true.
What do you mean?
I mean, just Brady never gets hit. He's going to pile up a lot of yards simply because he throws the ball so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy D has to hold on the ball a lot longer because he's still learning.
He's,
Jets' offensive line isn't nearly as good.
He's
going to keep him
elusive.
Down for a while.
He wants to throw on the run.
I know.
Stupid.
He's going to have to.
Well, he wants to. They like
it fits teams, his style perfectly.
Teams try to keep him in. They try
he's
to control.
He's going to be running for his life quite a bit the next year. Or
he
two.
Was that. Listen,
yes.
Sammy D can get rid of the ball. He goes to his third read.
It's called survival.
Wishing harm upon another human being.
Well, you know how every year they have the Madden simulation to figure out who the winner is going to be?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We have a winner. And that would be, of course, the New England Patriots. Yep. Mm-hmm. Final score, 38-31.
Yeah.
Patriots win.
That's the other thing. Patriots don't win Super Bowls by more than 7. It doesn't happen. It's going to be a close game.
That actually sounds like a pretty decent prediction,
yeah.
To be honest. 38-31. According to the people at EA Sports. Yeah, that's right there, Mr. Fesco. Well, Acreage Holdings, which is a cannabis company, they sent the network CBS a rough outline of a proposed commercial for the Super Bowl, and it was rejected. The company said that the CBS responded by saying that they will not be accepting any ads for medical marijuana at this time. It was a 60-second spot that called for medical marijuana to be legalized, although it's legal in many states. And we know that cannabis is still illegal at the federal level, which makes it difficult for scientists to research medical properties of the drug, blah, 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 blah. But it was basically an advocacy 60-second spot, and they said, we're not going to do it. And to that I say, well, of course they're not, because they're still punishing players in the NFL for smoking pot.
Or to that I would say, you got to get the big pharmaceutical companies to advertise because they got more money.
Well, wasn't there one like about like not being able to take a dump?
There is a drug out there.
It was like you've taken too many antidepressants and you can't take a dump?
No, antidepressants, just they open you up. No, you've been taking, it's for people that are has taken so many opioids that they can't go to the bathroom.
Okay, that's what it was. It was opioids. Yeah. Okay, that's what it was. And like the guy was like looking at people like longingly who are going into the restroom.
Right.
Like, oh, I wish I was like
Now, I understand
you.
Some people are on, but it just doesn't paint a pretty picture of opiates. I mean, they have a drug to make it so you can take more.
Yeah, it was opioid-induced constipation.
Yes.
I believe it was.
Yeah, and they'll run that ad.
Yep, they will do that. Well, they found the perfect person to play a young James Gandolfini in The Sopranos for The Sopranos movie, and their casting decision? James Gandolfini's son. That's right, Michael Gandolfini, who is an actor now and is actually on a show on HBO called The Deuce. He's done a couple other things as well.
Yeah, they said, that show, The Deuce. It's gross.
Is it? That's like the one set in the 70s New York, right?
Yeah, and it's set in the bathrooms.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe I won't watch that. It's got, who's the dude that was in?
It's got James Franco
James Franco,
it.
That's it.
It's
yeah.
got the sister of the...
Gyllenhaal, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So James Gandolfini's son is going to be playing a young James Gandolfini because the casting agent said that they brought in a bunch of different actors, but the only one who could truly match the mannerisms of James Gandolfini just so happened to be his son. Now, the movie's going to be set in the 1960s.
HBO's got a new show coming out called Number One.
You're very happy with that observation, aren't you?
If you're not watching on Twitch, that was the best smile ever from you. I just want to know how proud you were of that.
Stall.
Yeah, right, sure.
And number one said it a urinal.
Right. Right.
Rich nailed it. You were so proud of yourself with that.
That was good.
Yeah, thanks.
That's only the second best joke that was told this morning.
All right, what else do you have?
So, I mean, this is one of there's one fountain here. There's another one over there and another one in there. So, like, three fountains in the whole place? You could have a baptism in here.
You sure can.
Yeah.
Or a show called Number One.
Just leave those fountains running.
The deuce just reminds me of poo, which is funny. So I didn't think you got it the first time.
Right.
So I went even more clever and I said the next show is Number One.
Just to make sure.
By the way, I'm sorry, but since we've already gotten on that road, yesterday my dog farted and it was the exact same first note of Brass Monkey.
You should have sampled it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.